replenishes nutrients. Roots grow deeper and stronger. So next spring, Hal's grass grows thicker and greener. Guaranteed. This is a Scots Yard. Pick up a bag of Scots Winter Guard today.
Napa know-how.
Right now, Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for just $4.29 a quart. Quality motor oil at an affordable price. A deal so good it practically sells itself. Which begs the question, what do we do with the rest of this commercial? Repeat the deal, I guess. Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $4.29 a quart. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM, we will talk Major League Baseball as we are on the cusp of the playoffs getting underway tonight. Cal Eldred will join us. We'll take a look back at our predictions. We'll predict the first round and the wild card games of the Major League Baseball playoffs and more. Also coming up, Eric Bailey of the Tulsa World will stop by. He will talk Oklahoma Sooner football and a great example of why you should never, ever, ever wager on professional football. All that coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM. And on a cloudy Tuesday, we welcome you in. It is a gym class here in KGYM. 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Thank you very much for joining us today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. I'm Scott Unash, Mark Dukes. To my right, Kyle Mann. He's doing a lot of things today. He's our producer. He's getting coaches' cuts ready to go for later on. Hopefully we'll hear from Kirk Ferentz coming up in the back end of our program. If not, you'll get it during Coach's Cuts during the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. That'll be coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock, all taking you up to the American League wild card game, as it'll be the New York Yankees hosting the Minnesota Twins tonight, and we've got it for you. And this is how it's going to work out here tonight. If you're a Twins fan, I know Mark Dukes will be listening on 107.5 FM tonight. That is the Twins Radio Network with Corey Provis and Dan Gladden. 1600 AM and 106.3 FM will have the ESPN national broadcast of said Twin-Yankee game coming up tonight. This is the first time this has ever happened where we had the same game, but two different originating stations or networks, if you will, bringing you said game. But it's very exciting, Mark. Very exciting. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. You know, if your team is playing on October 3rd, you've got to be feeling good. Confident? Not particularly confident.
Yeah.
I told you, it was like when I went to the golf course with you Sunday after laying off for 6 weeks. I had low expectations, but hoping for the best. I just hope the Twins can avoid some bad innings like I had bad holes.
We'll talk about the Twins and the Yankees coming up. No Miguel Sano tonight for the Minnesota Twins. He is unavailable. He's not even on the wild card night roster for Minnesota.
I think that's a good move. He's been ailing for a few weeks now, and the Twins have gotten used to playing without him. Escobar and Rosario and others stepping up in certain roles. Rosario has been in the cleanup spot. It's kind of a weird spot for him, but nevertheless, go forward. Should the Twins survive, perhaps he'll be able to play against Cleveland.
Yeah, because they'll reshuffle. They get a chance to make some moves as far as the roster is concerned, and you got to have your roster set for the games coming up tonight, and should be interesting. Irvin Santana will get the ball tonight for the Minnesota Twins, former Cedar Rapids Colonel, although he was a Colonel before the team was affiliated with the Twins, and several former Cedar Rapids Colonels get their first chance to get into the postseason tonight, so that is going to be pretty cool to see.
It will. The last time he faced the Yankees, it was a 2-1 ball game, and he pitched very well. And then in that series, the starter for tonight for the Yankees, Luis Severino, only went 3 innings. The Twins got to him for 3 in the 3rd inning, and pretty much knocked him out. He threw a lot of pitches. And similar thing, I think, is going to have to happen tonight. Problem was, in that game, Yankees came back and not only tied it, but scored 11 runs. So that's what can happen.
Lineups are out. Twins will lead off with Brian Dozier, Joe Mauer, Jorge Polanco will bat third. Eddie Rosario will hit fourth. Eduardo Escobar will hit fifth. Max Kepler, former Colonel. Byron Buxton, former Colonel in there. Jason Castro will catch and bat eighth. Robbie Grossman will be the DH and bat ninth. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yankees will have Brett Gardner, Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Gregorius, Castro, Greg Bird, Aaron Hicks, Jacoby Ellsbury, and Todd Frazier hitting ninth. That tells you
how good that lineup is.
Sorry to do that to you, but that's the way they will line up tonight as the lineups are now out. We'll have it for you again tonight beginning at 7 o'clock with the first pitch scheduled just past 7 o'clock coming up tonight. So
not only that lineup is very good, but the Yankees have a huge edge in the bullpen as well. So uphill climb for the Twins, but you just never know, do
Santana's you? Santana's got to go at least six.
I agree.
Least six. He's got to get into the seventh. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600. The Hurting at Stocker Jewelers text line, if you would like to weigh in. Twins fans, 319-366-1600. More news today. Kirk Ferentz met the media down in Iowa City as Iowa gets ready to take on the Fighting Illini of Illinois. And I don't believe anything too earth-shattering out there coming out of Iowa City today. Again, we'll hear more about that coming up in just a little bit here.
Brandon Snyder, the safety, who's been out, has been cleared to play. He was cleared to play last week.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk Ferentz says he may well see action this week.
That's good news.
We'll see with the bye week next week. Said he'd like to give Boone Myers some rest as well, but that hasn't really panned out. But by and large, that was the biggest news that I gleaned from it.
Do you think it would be a situation where Iowa would like to keep Myers out, Snyder out, bring them back after the bye week, give them two more weeks to go, see what Reynolds can do in there on the offensive line for Iowa, and if Iowa takes care of business against Illinois like the experts say they should take care of business against Illinois, then keep him out. You know, let him get healed up a little bit more. But, you know, that's hindsight's 20/20. We've already seen a guy get dressed during the middle of a game this year in a high school game. Didn't get in, but he got dressed in the middle of a game. So, hey, that's the way it goes in this day and age right out there. 319-366-1600 here. Elsewhere, we have district golf going on, and believe we had the results from out at Elm Crest, where Cedar Rapids Xavier was your team champion out there. Top three go to the state meet, which will be this Friday and Saturday, and that will be in Marshalltown in Elmwood. Xavier first, Wash second, and Dubuque Wallert got the tiebreaker for third over Pleasant Valley. So a 1-2-3 Mississippi Valley Conference finish in that one. And no, I haven't heard any results or read any results yet from up at Pheasant Ridge and Cedar Falls.
Nor have I, no.
Where the majority of the Metro and Iowa City teams were. So, but congratulations to Wash and Xavier as they make it out of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that was fake news, I read. Would there be fake prep golf news?
Why?
I don't know. I'm just asking you. 319-366-1600. On the program today, Cal Eldred will join us. Eric Bailey's going to join us. Also, for you fans out there of heavy metal powerhouses coming together on Friday, February the 9th for the Stage World Tour at the U.S. Cellular Center. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock at the U.S. Cellular Center box office or Ticketmaster.com for Avenged Sevenfold with Breaking Benjamin. And looking forward to giving away those tickets. Avenged Sevenfold?
Yes.
And Breaking Benjamin. They're rock powerhouses, metal powerhouses. They're good. I listened to them yesterday. That was some good stuff there. We're going to give those tickets away coming up here in just a little bit. So don't call now. Don't call now. Mark, last night.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Bullet for My Valentine is also on that.
Don't want to forget about them.
No.
Don't want to forget about them. Last night is the perfect example, and we bring on John Cranton, we have, and hopefully we will again, for entertainment purposes only, and this is a great example of why it should be for entertainment purposes only, as reading all over the place last night and this morning about very angry people who lost, anywhere between a small sum and large copious amounts of money last night as Justin Houston crossed the goal line on the final play of the game for the Kansas City Chiefs, and went from not covering to covering real quick. How many things were broken across America last night in about a 5-second span with the finish of that football game?
Well, I read where it affected some fantasy leagues as well, because if you had the Kansas City defense, you got an extra 6 points, and if you were in a tight game, that would have put you over the top. Maybe that affected you.
No.
If so, 319-366-1600. But if you missed it, Washington was down 23-20 and in desperation mode. And we're going to do one of those throwback and lateral about 6 or 8 times that they could to get it down the field, and ends up in Houston's hands. And he rumbles into the end zone for a 9-point victory. And the spread was 6.5 to 7, somewhere in that range. So, but this can go both ways, too, can it? I mean, if you had Kansas City to cover, you were really happy.
Very happy. Ecstatic. I was just happy either way. I didn't care if they scored. I was telling Justin Houston to get down and just fall down and not fumble the ball. Like I told you, I had visions of somebody coming from behind and slapping that ball away.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, having the Redskins scoop it up on a bounce, in midair, in mid-stride, and take it back all the way. That would be the perfect way for the Chiefs to wreck the game last night and the 4-0 start. But they did not. They did not. Yes, it affected the over as well out there. But, yeah, if you got a bad beat, let us know. 319-366-1600. And, again, that is for entertainment purposes only. We do emphasize that here on the program today. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up in just a couple of moments, and then we're going to talk to Eric Bailey as well here in just a little bit. And we'll give our predictions for the Major League Baseball first round and see how we do. We're going to also look back at how we did at the start of the year. Mark, you brought those out of the archives back
dusted
there.
Them off, yes, because I was curious to see how the panel did. You, me, Alex.
Well, don't wreck.
No, I'm not going to. You, me, Alex, Todd, and Cal all picked the division winners, wild card teams, and we'll give you the scorecard here in a little while.
All right. I like it. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll check out how we did, and we'll talk to Cal. We'll preview tonight's Twins-Yankees game, preview tomorrow night's Rockies-Diamondbacks game, and talk about the first round of the playoffs. Major League Baseball coming up next here on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Don't miss the annual Leon Evans Cruise-In October 7th at the Fairfax Regional Sports Complex. Come see muscle cars, hot rods, custom cars, and more. The event is free and everyone is invited. There'll be music, food, raffle prizes, and lots of fun for the whole family.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Check, check, and check. Whole to-do list done. And it's game time.
I only gave you that list an hour ago.
Right.
You fixed the dishwasher, washed the dog, and got us a mortgage in less than an hour?
Yep. Dishwasher was simple, Bruno was no trouble, and I got us an online mortgage at Fairfax State Savings Bank, where we were approved in like 20 minutes.
You demand, babe. Let's watch that game. High five.
Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com for a mortgage or refinance today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The High School Football Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Holmes Murphy, Finding Insurance Solutions. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead. Visit HOLMESMurphy.com.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Welcome back, 318. Gym class coming your way on KGYM. Cal Eldred's going to join us coming up in just a moment. Eric Bailey of the Tulsa World will join us as well. Talk Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield, and the rest of the Sooners as they will host Iowa State Saturday morning, 9 o'clock with the pregame, and 11 o'clock, just past 11 o'clock with the kickoff. We'll have it for you on 1600 AM coming your way this Saturday. Tonight, Twins and the Yankees. Tomorrow night, D-backs and the Rockies. The wild card game, I'd still love it to have it 2 out of 3, no matter if you would like a one-game series or not for your Twins, Mark, but it is what it is right now, and it's winner-take-all tonight.
I'm with you on the 2 out of 3, but in this case, I'll take my chances with a one-game shot against the Yankees.
All right. We're efforting Cal at the moment, and we'll get him on here. If not, we may go ahead and switch things around. Maybe we'll go ahead and get Eric Bailey first, if we can't get that. Kyle's working on it. We have the utmost confidence in Kyle. Text Line's having a debate right now. If Avenged Sevenfold and Breaking Benjamin are heavy metal bands.
Yeah, got a question or a comment that those aren't heavy metal bands. Our informational sheet says just that, right?
Yes, that it does.
And the ultimate source, Wikipedia, says an American heavy metal band from Huntington Beach, California. So if it is, and I guess I'd like to know.
I don't want to open that can of worms. That's what I would. I want to talk Major League Baseball. That's what I would like to do.
I don't think Cal's an Avenged Sevenfold fan, but there's plenty of you out there, and you'll get a chance to win tickets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cal Elder joining us right now to talk a little Major League Baseball as the wild card games get underway tonight with the Twins and the Yankees from the Bronx and Colorado and Arizona from the desert coming up tomorrow. Cal, it's your favorite time of the year. I know that.
You know it. It's time that you don't need sleep because you just want to keep watching games. And on top of that, we have instructional leagues, so I'm in Arizona taking that in during the day.
Yeah, a lot of important things going on right now. And I will ask you this for tonight's game. Before we predict it, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit, that in the first round of the Major League Baseball playoffs. But what do the Twins have to do, being the underdog? Do you like their spot, or would you rather, I don't know, you've been in this situation before as the favorite, underdog, what do you like better?
Well, I obviously you're seeing who people are picking the Yankees, and there's a lot of reasons to pick the Yankees, and I look back and, you know, that was my biggest concern on the Twins schedule was having to go to New York towards the end of the season here, and it didn't go real well for them, didn't go well at all for them. But I also know that being the underdog in a one-game playoff can change the perceived pressure. The Yankees are young, too. They have veteran guys, but they do have some young players that they're going to lean on. So I feel better about it for the Twins because it's a one-game playoff, and Santana's starting. But this is still going to be a tough task for them.
I'd agree, Cal, and I guess the only saving grace or one of the few saving graces that I see is the last time the Yankees and Twins got together in that series. Santana was on the losing end of a 2-1 game. He pitched very, very well. And also in that series, the Twins got to Severino for 3 runs in the third inning and knocked him out because he threw a lot of pitches. So maybe that's something they can hang their hat on.
Well, I agree. I think that's the thing. If the Twins can keep it close early on or strike early on and give Santana a lead, he has a lot of motivation going here. And if he can keep those emotions in check and get comfortable, then I think the Twins are in a pretty good spot because you're going to see the Yankees put a little more pressure on themselves as they get deeper in the game. If the Twins, even if it's a couple-run lead, I think that's the that's the place the Twins want to be.
Well, you get into that Yankee bullpen, though, too, and that's like getting into the Cleveland bullpen, isn't it? Or close to it.
Yeah, it is. There's some teams in these playoffs. They're not by happenstance. They have very good bullpens or in combination with some good starting pitching. But I will say the Twins do not want to get to the sixth inning, through the sixth inning, mm-hmm. and be behind by two or three runs. That's an uphill battle.
National League then is tomorrow night, and that will be down in Phoenix. The Diamondbacks are going to host the Colorado Rockies. Colorado was scuffling there at the end. Arizona got really hot, and boy, they had a terrific season. I don't know if it's really flying under the radar or anything like that, but the Diamondbacks played some really good baseball down the stretch.
Well, I think either one of these teams are looking at it like they've got nothing to lose. Neither one of these teams, I think, really were picked to be in the playoffs. Maybe, the Diamondbacks didn't have the year they wanted the year before. Colorado had played some decent baseball. But this one here, guys, I'm seeing so many people are saying that, you know, Greinke's last two starts were not very good, but you also know that he is a heck of a competitor. And talking to the people here in Kansas City, in this organization, they know all about Zach. So, and they have a dynamic offense that can go off any time. But you got to give Colorado a lot of credit. They're in a position, they've got nothing to lose. And so this is going to be, for both of these teams, if they relax and play, it could be a heck of a ball game to watch.
Let's get into some of these other series. And Thursday, the scheduled starters, Cal, get this. Chris Sale against Justin Verlander. Boston, Houston, go at it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'd probably lean towards liking Sale in that one. But the deal with this is even though you've got Sale and Verlander going against each other, both of these teams have shown offensively that they can explode at any moment. But I still say, and you guys know this, we say this all the time, you get into the playoffs and it's usually the pitching that ends up coming out on top. This is what playoff baseball is about. This is what it's supposed to be. And you see the horses, the team guys that have won Cy Young Awards and have been the aces on teams, you get to see them matched up.
Cleveland against whoever wins tonight. Can one of these two teams not only give a fight to Cleveland, but beat Cleveland in a five-game series?
I like their chances of beating Cleveland in a five-game series better than I do a seven-game series. So the answer to that, Scott, I think is yes. But Cleveland is really hungry. They had the experience last year in the World Series that the Royals had in 2014. And they are very, very hungry. I don't want to say it's just a foregone conclusion that whether it's the Yankees or whether it's the Twins that Cleveland's going to win, but there's a lot of people thinking that. But the Twins have done a lot of exceptional things this year, and they've been a team that has had nothing to lose. And you look at what the Yankees have done, and they've got some unbelievable talent. So they can. I think it's going to be tougher for Cleveland in this five-game series, no matter who they end up playing, than most people think.
Friday series opener, the Cubs in Washington, Cal. A couple aspects about this. Ryan and Walford wanted to know how you thought the Cubs pitching rotation would set up. And number two, Scott's really worried about Dusty Baker.
I think me and about 7 million Nat fans.
I do, Scott, I do like Dusty's comment that this is the way it was supposed to be. And this is, and I'm going to tell you, our texter from Walford is right. It's about the pitching. It's about how are the Cubs going to pitch. That's the bottom line. Lester has pitched better of late. Arrieta has pitched a little bit better of late. I think it's all about the starting pitching that the Cubs are going to get, because you know that the Nationals, chances are going to throw out some really good starts. And that's what it's going to come down to for me, for the Cubs.
Sounds like, it's going to all depend on that Cub rotation. I really think that. If they can jump out to a lead, get the pitchers to do well. Quintana's been throwing well as of late. You know, we'll see with Lester how that's going to play out. Hendricks has been solid, so it's and is Scherzer, how's the leg going? I mean, that's going to be a big part of it. And can Arrieta come back in game three or four, depending? There's so many variables to these two pitching staffs going on right now. That's what makes that matchup, I think, pretty intriguing.
Well, I think, Scott, to your point, I think almost more than anything is the fact that Scherzer, with the possible injury or something that he's at least going to have to, he's going to be limited. And that may really be one of the biggest keys in this series if the Cubs pitching does what it can do. If Lester pitches well, if Arrieta can pitch like he can, if Hendricks gets in there and does what he does, and if Hendricks is doing his thing, they need to let him do his thing and therefore let the bullpen maybe pick up the pieces in one of those other starts.
Cal, another texter wanted to know, and maybe this is an obvious answer, but the feeling that players have, excuse me, in, let's say, a big regular season game versus a postseason game, and you've been in that those situations.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's such an advantage to having played in the playoffs and getting a second opportunity. And that's, you saw it with the Cubs, you saw it with the Royals, you're seeing it with Cleveland, teams like the Yankees. See, I think sometimes in our mind we think the Yankees, well, they've been in the playoffs for forever. Some of their players have. A few of their players have, but a lot of their players haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And the Twins, that is an advantage for the Twins to a certain extent, because the Yankees aren't the Yankees of old. But that's what's going to be tough for a guy like Santana and the Minnesota Twins. There's a lot of experience that these guys have not had, and you put it on the position players. Yes, being a starting pitcher is a big deal, but you put it on the position players because there's been some really, really big name players, position players, that all of a sudden they're 0-for-8 and in two ball games, and they continue to struggle. And it takes a while for that. I mean, Barry Bonds was one of those guys early in his career. But it's a big deal having that experience, being able to be in the playoffs year after year after year, such as the Giants did, the Cardinals did, the Yankees did for years. It's such a huge advantage.
Cal Elder joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class KGYM to talk a little Major League playoff baseball with you. Why are so many experts not picking the Dodgers to get out of the first round?
Oh, the Dodgers are flaky. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word, but they are, for a team that won over 100 games, I think we look at them in baseball as they're inconsistent. And plus the other part is you want to count on Kershaw twice in a 5-game series, but yet you're just not sure that is he going to be 100%. And so that's where they're shaky. And I think that's how are the youngsters that they have going to respond? Because they do have with Peterson and Seager and, they are Bellinger. They're young. They're still young. So I think that's why. And that streak, that losing streak, just put a bad taste in so many fans' mouths. And they haven't forgot about it.
Cal, what will your Royals look like next year?
Oh, boy. You know what? After our meetings conclude at the end of this week, I'll have a better idea.
Okay.
it's a good question, Mark. And I know we got a lot of Royals fans out there that listen to this station and listen to our show and, you guys' show. And it's really tough. And if anybody tuned in to this last weekend in Kansas City, you saw that it was really a celebration of the core four, what even some of the guys who are still going to be there, and Salvador Perez and Danny Duffy and Alex Gordon, what they've done. And when you come in player development, and we talked about it just yesterday in a meeting about what those kids and young men now meant to this organization and how they changed the atmosphere. A lot of those guys were high picks. Hosmer and Moustakas, high picks. a trade where you trade Greinke and you get Escobar and you get Kane. I mean, that they have changed the way that this organization looks at what their expectations are. And so, you know what? What we're going to look like is we're probably going to look a lot younger. We're going to understand that attitude we don't want that. We're going to look younger. We're going to still have some veteran players that hopefully can continue on those winning ways.
Cal, before we get to picks and look back and how good or bad we did on picking what was going to happen this year, the most disappointing team, is that the San Francisco Giants this year? I think the Twins are probably the best story on the positive side, but it's got to be the Giants for most disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Scott. And it's funny you say that. That's actually, we've got our Instructional League game going on right now, and that's who we're playing. And you're talking to a few of those coaches that I know, Steve Klein coaches over here, Kurt Manwaring's over here with the Giants, and those are guys that, you know, they're used to what the Giants used to be. And, you know, they say that not only is the big league team struggled this year, but from the minor league end, they've got a long way to go. And so but the big league team was still supposed to be built to win. And it is disappointing. But I'm going to tell you, Mark, you had the team that I think a lot of people that are just baseball fans are going to be behind in these playoffs. They want to see a team like the Twins surprise everybody. And when we had one of our meetings yesterday, a number of guys that had actually pitched against the Twins commented that organization, their teams have always been tough to face because of the greediness of the players that they've had in their organization.
Yeah, I hope so, Cal. And I think tonight, really, you know how polarizing the Yankees can be. There's going to be a lot of baseball fans that just don't like the Yankees in the Twins' corner, I think.
There's a lot of truth to that. And, you know, if the Red Sox were not in the playoffs, they would be 100%. They'd probably go down and actually don a Twins hat or jersey and cheer for them. So there's a lot of truth to that. But there still is the aura of the New York Yankees. Mm. And I think that there's still some of that left. And I think that's what Joe Girardi and his staff is trying to pass on, instill, and further with those younger players.
And there's a history there, and it's not been good for the Twins. But we'll see how it goes tonight. Back in March, Cal, had our ideas as to who would win the divisions, who would come out of the wild card situations. And here's how it went, Cal. Alex Kuhn, who's now on the Todd Brommelkamp show, Todd Brommelkamp of the TV show, and myself, all pick 5 out of the 6 division winners.
Nice.
Alex missed on Texas. Todd missed on the New York Mets. And I can laugh at myself because I missed on the San Francisco Giants. Scott picked 4 out of the 6. He also missed Texas and San Francisco. And Cal, you're a much better forecaster of the National League than American League. I know you pick Kansas City for a reason. You get your paychecks from that organization. The AL East, you picked Toronto, and you know what? Toronto was not a bad team.
No.
And AL West, you picked Texas, and it just didn't work out that way. But you got Washington, Chicago, and the Dodgers in the National League. Strangely enough, none of the 5 of us got a wild card team. No, nobody picked Arizona, Colorado, the Twins, or the Yankees. Strange.
You know, and actually, guys, I kind of thought maybe I was trying to think back. I didn't look back in where I'd written it down to see. I thought maybe I'd pick the Yankees, and I know why, because I was going back and forth and back and forth. Is that the team that's gonna do it? But, you know, that just shows you've been in the National League for 12 years. At least you know something. But this American League, I better start learning it. I better start learning it fast.
Well, to your credit, your wild card teams were Cleveland and Boston, so those two teams are in the playoffs.
Yeah, I made it at least that far.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's predict it here before we let you go and get back to things in the Instructional League. I would love to see the Twins do it tonight, but I just think they're probably a year, maybe ahead of schedule, maybe even a year and a half ahead of schedule. But better things are coming in the future for the Twins. I'd love to see them win it, but I think the Yankees are gonna take it tonight. What do you think, Cal?
It's tough for me because my gut tells me to go with the Yankees, but yet you guys know, you hear me time and time again talk about the starting pitching. And I think I'm like Mark, I think Santana is probably going to pitch better than Severino, but it just takes a big blow from Sano or from Judge, to really change the scheme. And I am going to pick the Yankees, and it's tough, but I'll still have a smile on my face if the Twins win because I know they're so deserving. But Joe Girardi's a pretty good friend, so it's tough.
I've got to go with the Yankees as well. I mean, if I went with my heart, obviously you know where that would be. Yep. Do the Twins have a shot? Yeah, I think they got a shot, but a good one. I think it's about a 10 or 15% chance, and those aren't good odds, so I'll take the Yankees.
How about tomorrow night, Cal? I think it's going to be a great game between the Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies, but it's time for Mr. Greinke to come out in a big game and do well.
Well, I think that's the case. But, I put out a poll here with some of the coaches and just said, what do you think? Because they know Greinke really well. And you know what I keep getting? They think the Rockies are going to win. And I know that there's a home field advantage going on here. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick with that. And I'm going to say Colorado is going to make kind of to a certain extent an upset here.
I think that would be an upset, Cal. And I can see it happening. But I like Greinke. I like Arizona's lineup. I hope for the best that Goldschmidt can go as far as possible in the playoffs, and I actually think the D-backs will.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the D-backs as well. I think they're going to get it. That means, Cal, you would have the Yankees and the Indians and also, of course, the Astros and the Red Sox. Who do you think is going to come out of those two series?
Well, I think I'm going to pick Cleveland. I think Cleveland Cleveland is going to win that, and that's who I think, and then that puts us with the Rockies and
the Rockies and Dodgers.
Yes, the Rockies and the Dodgers. And I think the Dodgers are going to win that. I really do. I think the Dodgers are ready to win, and at least this first series that they're in.
All right. Mark, who do you like in these four series?
I'm going to go with the Yankees to upset Cleveland. And I know that may be a touch of a reach, but not a really big one in my mind. And then I'm going to take Arizona over the Dodgers.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Cleveland's going to win. Not enough pitching for the Yankees. Give me Cleveland. And I still think Kershaw, you run him out there twice, he's going to be just fine. How about Astros, Red Sox, and then the Cubs, Nats?
Well, I'm gonna go with the Red Sox. I think a lot of that has to do with the trade that they made. Chris Sale can make the difference, and I think that there's more offense that we'll see from Boston than most people think.
How about Cubs-Nats?
Oh, boy. I'm gonna go with the Nationals. I am. I'm not a huge fan of their defense, but I think their pitching can be exceptional, and I think the Cubs, for them, we may see a little bit of that playoff hangover show up a little bit in this series. Some of their key guys, Schwarber, they're going to have to have some other guys step up offensively than what they have had. So, look, I'm, and I know they've been playing better, but I really think the Nationals they need to do it, even though Dusty Baker is their manager.
That's what's keeping me from pulling the trigger on that. I think it's going to be five fun-filled, nail-biting games. The Nats bullpen scares me. Scares me, and Dusty scares me. I got to say Cubs. think it's going to be the Cubs, and I think the Red Sox are going to win. I think the Red Sox are going to win. Mark, you get the final word. He's thinking.
Oh, boy. Well, Washington lineup is good. And the Cubs isn't far behind, if they are behind. I'm going to go with Washington and Houston. I'm just going to go opera with you guys.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll see what happens next week when we reconvene. Cal, have fun in Arizona, and we will talk more baseball coming up next week. All right?
That sounds great. And yes, Mark is right. The popcorn will be going when I eventually get home.
There you go.
Thanks, Cal. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
3:43. We're going to take a quick break, come back. As we head to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up those tickets. They go on sale this Friday. Public on sale Friday, October the 6th at 10 o'clock at the U.S. Cellular Center box office, Ticketmaster.com. It is Avenged Sevenfold and Breaking Benjamin. And we've got a ticket. We got tickets going out to caller number 6 right now, 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. And we'll come back, let you know who our winner is, and we'll talk as well with Eric Bailey of the Tulsa World. Talk Oklahoma Sooner football after this.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the Gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
When you're planning for a new home, you're probably focused on how many rooms you need and what design you like, and that's important stuff. But something else to think about is energy efficiency. If you'd like some ideas, come see the latest energy efficiency innovations in action at Linn County REC's Model Home during the Cedar Rapids Parade of Homes October 7th through 15th. This all-star-rated home in Solon stars an air source heat pump hybrid heating and cooling system and also features energy efficiency upgrades like a heat recovery ventilator, heat pump water heater, 90% LED lighting, and it's net zero ready. Come see it. And while you're there during the Cedar Rapids Parade of Homes, a Linn County REC Energy Advisor will be on hand to answer your questions. The address is 3987 McBride Place, Northeast in Solon. Find more details and a map at LinnCountyREC.com. Learning more about the most energy-efficient innovations for your next home is just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the Gym Class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
Back with you at 3:47, we have a winner for our ticket giveaway for Avenged Sevenfold and Breaking Benjamin. We'll give you that winner's name coming up here in just a moment. Going to talk to Eric Bailey of the Tulsa World coming up as well. Not only got baseball playoffs, Mark, hockey gets underway tomorrow night. So great to have the grand old game back of hockey.
Once again, we have the convergence of seasons here.
I love it.
Very much so. Poll question today, KG1MRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who wins tonight's AL wildcard game in the Bronx? The Yankees or Twins? Right now, it's 50-50.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Neil and Solon, by the way, he is the winner of the tickets to Avenged Sevenfold and Breaking Benjamin, and he will be enjoying them coming up in February at the U.S. Cellular Center here in Cedar Rapids. By the way, the TB show with Alex Kuhn, they will have a $30 gift certificate to La Cantina, one of their three locations. That'll be coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock during their program. So tune in for that. Iowa State and Oklahoma coming up from Norman, and that will be this Saturday, 9 o'clock with the pregame right here on KGYM, 1600 AM, and just past 11 o'clock with the kickoff for that one. And to talk about the Oklahoma Sooners, Eric Bailey of the Tulsa World joining us right now. And Eric, a lot of good things happening in Norman. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How's everything up in Iowa these days?
Oh, well, we cannot complain. Can't complain. And 4-0 start with a win in Columbus, a convincing win in Columbus for this Oklahoma football team. A lot of people already putting out their projections for the playoffs and including Oklahoma in it. How's that playing in Norman right now?
Well, I think they're excited about the possibility of having a great season, but I still think there's a lot of work to do. I think a lot of the fans are seeing it, and even Lincoln Riley's seeing it. This is a good football team, but to get to where Clemson and Alabama are right now, it's going to take another step. And I think they played 2 weeks ago against Baylor and kind of struggled a little bit on the road, too. So I think that was an eye-opener, and then they had the off week to kind of readjust and reset their goals and their thoughts, and now they spent the week preparing for Iowa State. So I think they're ready to do the business of 8 straight conference games to wrap up the regular season.
Let's talk about this offense, Eric, led by Baker Mayfield. It's the number one team in the country in total offense. 12 different players have scored. And you talk about that offense and how it might compare to others that you've seen.
You know, coming into the season, everyone wondered who was going to replace Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon and DeeDee Westbrook. And you're right, they've been really versatile in spreading the wealth. I think 13 offensive players have scored an offensive touchdown this season, and only two of those 13 scored a touchdown last year, which means 11 new players made touchdowns this season already compared to last season. So they've been able to find some playmakers that were either deeper on the roster or first-year players. So, and probably the most impressive thing is the way that Baker Mayfield has been able to just find early chemistry with those players. It's something that he had a hard time doing over the last two seasons building that early chemistry. He's been able to do it this year.
Well, interesting that Baker Mayfield, you know, everyone coming into the season was talking about Rosen and Darnold, and of course, Saquon Barkley, as we know here in Iowa, is popped up into the Heisman race. No one's talking about Baker Mayfield a whole lot to start the year, and all he's done is 75% completions, 13 touchdowns, and no interceptions, and now he's right up there among the Heisman favorites.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's interesting with Baker, too, because in 1982, Herschel Walker was in the top four of the Heisman voting for 3 straight years. If Baker Mayfield ends up in the top four this year, it'll be the first time since Herschel Walker that one player has been in the top four in the Heisman Trophy voting, and Herschel Walker won it in 82. So I think Baker's really setting a foundation for a special season and possibly a Heisman Trophy season. He's really throwing the ball well, 13 touchdowns, hasn't thrown an interception this season, really playing smart with the football and you know, connecting with a lot of players. Going into last week's game against Baylor, the top 8 pass plays were to 8 different players. So he's really developed that trust with the wide receivers and the running backs coming out of the backfield.
How did Lincoln Riley spend the bye week, and what emphasis did he make on any certain part of the football team?
Well, one thing he did is he kind of took what Bob Stoops did last year and gave them Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. Let them go home. Let them just get a break from the sport because it's been a grind. You think about the fall camp this year and how everyone had an extra week of fall camp. So Oklahoma's team went 5 weeks of fall camp and then 4 straight Saturdays of football. And Lincoln said that he thought that the break came at the perfect time because it got those guys away from the game for the first time really in 9 weeks. So I think that was key to kind of get them readjusted. It helps that they struggled a little bit at Baylor because then it helps them kind of reassess things and what they need to do. Lincoln said what he did last week is he went recruiting hard on Thursday and Friday and then sat home Saturday and Sunday, just kind of catching up with college football and the college football world.
Lincoln Riley, of course, taking over for Bob Stoops, and so far so good anyway. He knows it's not quite this simple, right?
Yeah, and that's what impresses me about Lincoln. He's only 34 years old, but this is his 15th staff, and he's been either a student assistant, graduate assistant, position coach, coordinator, or head coach. So he's been around a while. He's seen a lot of season, football season, so he understands that four games really doesn't tell the whole story of your football team. Ever since he took over on June 7th for Bob Stoops, I've really been impressed with his maturity and really how he's got the players to buy in from day one.
What has Riley had to say about Iowa State this week?
Very impressive. I mean, he's very impressed with their physical play. He remembered what it was like to go up to Ames last year when he was a coordinator and you know, Oklahoma had to definitely work for that game, and that game was a fourth-quarter game. So I think he was really impressed with that, and he gushed a lot about Alan Lazard, about the way he can really change the way a game is played. And, you know, he's going to be one of the top wide receivers Oklahoma will see all season. As well as Jacob Park. He really liked what he saw to Jacob a little bit last year as well. So impressed with their offense and impressed with the defense. Especially, and he made sure to mention Joel Lanning, too. And he said 20 tackles once or twice in the press conference today. He was just really impressed with Lanning's game against Texas.
Well, I think Iowa State got Oklahoma's attention in Ames last year, as you mentioned. And no matter what, you got to get ready for every opponent. And I think it showed in the Baylor game a little bit. And people can talk about getting into the playoffs, but you got to win the games, and that includes this game coming up on Saturday at home.
And that's something that was asked of Lincoln, too, is, you know, how important is it not to let anyone sneak up on you? And they can't. They can't afford it. I mean, Oklahoma's had success in the conference. They're going to try for their 18th straight conference win against Iowa State, and if they win it, it'll be a record, a school record, a school Big 12 record for the Sooners if they can get that win. So, you know, of course, 18, they want to go further than 18, but that's just another milestone that this team's done. They haven't lost. Overall, they've won 14 straight games dating back to last year, so they haven't lost a game in quite some time. So they're riding a big wave of confidence. That being said, they do understand that every game's important, and that they're going to play well every game, including on Saturday.
Odds makers say a 28-point game. How do you see it?
You know, it's just one of those games. I think if Oklahoma can strengthen their defense and kind of put pressure on the quarterback a little bit, they may be okay. Of course, I think the key with Oklahoma is they need to force not only this weekend with the quarterback situation with Jacob Park, but all season. They're going to have to force quarterbacks to make mistakes. And I think that's something that Oklahoma's been able to do in some parts against some opponents. If they can do that on Saturday, they'll have success. The offense is really humming, too. They scored at least seven touchdowns in three games. The only game they didn't was, of course, Ohio State, but that was an impressive road win for the Sooners, too. So I think if they can just do what they do offensively and kind of maybe try to pressure Jacob Park as much as possible, they may be in decent shape on Saturday.
Hey, before we let you go, I wanted to get your opinion and the people in Norman's opinion that you've talked to about the new Big 12 setup with a championship game. There's going to be a rematch somewhere. Good or bad, or do we have to sit around for a while, maybe a few years, and see how this all plays out?
I think you may have to sit around a few years, too, because I just think that you just never know how every year is going to play out. If this game was last year, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State would have played in the final week and then turn around and played 7 days later. So, you know, there's just different situations. And in the end, will this result of the conference championship game ensure a CFP playoff spot? I don't know. That's the key. Will that 13th data point mean a lot? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. I think it'll take a couple of years to really figure out how important this game is in the grand scheme of things.
What the Big 12 doesn't want is a 12-0 team going into that game and then losing. So that's what they don't
want. Exactly. That'd be the worst case scenario. You're exactly right.
Yeah, K-State. Ask Bill Snyder how that goes from a few years back. Hey, Eric, appreciate the time, and always good talking Oklahoma sports with you, and have fun at the game coming up on Saturday.
All right, everyone. Thanks for your time, and you guys have a good week, okay?
You betcha. Eric Bailey from the Tulsa World joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Going to wrap it up tomorrow. Chris Liss of rotowire.com, and also coming up tomorrow, we'll talk Illini football with Brian Barnhart coming up, as the Illini will be in Iowa City take on the Hawkeyes. Twins tonight against the New York Yankees. If I had a Twins hat, I'd wear it tonight.
I could have brought you one. But I've got mine on, and it'll be on the rest of the night.
There you go. Go ahead and vote on our poll question at KGYMradio.com. We'll have the Twins Radio Network call on 107.5. We'll have the ESPN call on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. And more on the baseball playoffs, more on Kirk Ferentz today. Coming up next on the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Comes your way from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock right here on KGYM. Now, we'll talk about it all tomorrow, plus we'll talk Illinois football, and we'll talk with Chris Liss on Wednesday. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time. And now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in with flexible